Fanny Gets Spanked.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Man, oh man, things look bad for mortgage lender Fannie Mae. This morning, Fannie said it lost $2.3 billion last quarter. That's triple what Wall Street expected. The company's down almost $5 billion for the year and says things don't look good for the second half either. Fannie Mae is slashing its dividend from 35 cents a share to 5 cents and says it will cut costs 10% by the end of next year. Seriously, that doesn't sound good enough. Mortgage sibling Freddie Mac is in the same situation. More now from Steve Henn.
Losses continue to mount at Fannie and Freddie, and the big question on everyone's mind is, are we headed toward a government bailout?
Absolutely.
Tom LaMaffa is a mortgage industry economist at Wholesale Access.
I think that the situation is imperiled and the taxpayers are going to be called upon. Whether we call it a nationalization or not of Fannie and Freddie is just a matter of semantics.
We're not there yet. Freddie Mac has been saying for months it will raise at least $5.5 billion to shore up its books by issuing new stock. But a bleak housing market and Fannie and Freddie's blood-soaked balance sheets have left analysts like LaMaffa skeptical.
I don't think the private sector wants to go near this. I think they're going to let the government work this out and try to unwind this.
If that happened, it would cost taxpayers $25 billion. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Fannie Mae shares are down 13% this morning. Freddie Mac's have lost another 6%. But so far, some minor gains for Wall Street. The Dow is up 39 points to 11,471. The NASDAQ has put on 15. The S&P 500 is up 4. The Olympics are underway in China, but the stock market doesn't give a rat. The Shanghai index fell 4.5% today to its lowest level since 2006. European shares are down about 1%. High gas prices might be just the thing for train service in this country. Yes, we do have train service in this country. It's a far cry from what Europe has, but more people are trying Amtrak, and that's good and bad. Nancy Marshall Genzer explains.
Last year, nearly 26 million people rode Amtrak. Last month alone, ridership was up almost 14% from July of 2007. The railroad could see a record number of passengers this year, but the trains are getting crowded. Sometimes it's standing room only. Amtrak doesn't have any new cars to add. And then there's the issue of infrastructure. Amtrak says it's safe, but it's antiquated. Trains slow to a crawl through tunnels. In spite of those problems, Amtrak spokeswoman Karina Romero says members of Congress are finally getting on board.
We've seen a lot of people calling, just asking, you know, what do I need to increase service in my state? More and more of them are seeing us as definitely a part of the transportation mix.
Amtrak's asking for more money, about $1.5 billion next year. Congress still has to hammer out the railway's budget. But this is an election year. Romero doesn't expect a final budget before November. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
When it comes to their stock portfolios, more people seem to be wearing their pessimism goggles. A survey out this morning says 40% of people said their stock holdings would rise in the coming year. That's the lowest percent since the survey began 6 years ago. When we talk about the stock market, we're usually referring to the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. But there's a whole other world known as the over-the-counter market. Companies that trade over-the-counter don't meet the standards of a traditional exchange. Maybe you've gotten a spam email about hyping a stock. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. But there is a man trying to bring some order to OTC trading. Amy Scott has that story.
The over-the-counter market has long been known as the Wild West of stocks.
The securities run from very good, strong international companies to the most speculative, the most troubled, the most questionable.
That's Cromwell Coulson. A little over a decade ago, he bought a company that published what are known as the pink sheets. They were a sort of price list for over-the-counter stocks printed on pink paper. Old-fashioned, yes, and rife with fraud because there wasn't much accountability. Coulson took the service online, and he created a system to separate the good stocks from the bad and the ugly ones, like companies touted in stock spam campaigns or suspected of fraud.
It's almost impossible to eradicate this part of the business. What we want to do is slow it down. And the way you slow it down is you separate out the good companies.
At the headquarters of Pink OTC Markets, as the company's now called, everything is pink, from the chairs to the Venetian blinds to the jars full of Jelly Bellies.
Here's Air France. The market is 2420, 2460.
Last year, Coulson introduced a higher tier of the pink sheets called the OTCQX. It includes U.S. and foreign companies that disclose financial information but may not report to the Securities and Exchange Commission. Mike Molitor teaches securities law at Thomas M. Cooley Law School in Michigan. He says big-name foreign companies like Air France and Roche want access to U.S. investors. They don't want the expense and hassle of reporting to the SEC.
It basically just allows them to have securities traded in the U.S. without having to worry so much about additional U.S. securities law requirements.
For companies that don't qualify for the OTCQX, the pink sheets now offer a sort of rating system. Highest marks to companies with up-to-date information, a skull and crossbones for those with a hint of fraud. Until recently, Stephen Dupre traded pink sheet stocks for a major U.S. bank. Despite these improvements, he says the market is best left to sophisticated investors.
Just for an average investor, I would probably say it's not the best arena. You kind of have to do a little homework.
Cromwell Coulson says he's made it easier for investors to do that homework by shining a little more light on what had been a dark corner of the market. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
If you'd like to take the Marketplace Morning Report with you, I encourage you to check out our podcast. You can find details online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.